suspension. Right. What about Abdallah?
Divalda is it, so the question that Max was asking is, should I make Abdallah for my 4-year-old daughter the next day?
Either the next morning when she wakes up, Sunday morning.
Right, because she's ready to sleep for the night on Motzi Shabbos with these late the late summer, you know, Shabbos.
You got 3 days to do it, right?
So we're here on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, and let's just see if I think I made a note of it exactly where we stopped. Oh yeah, we're up to Gufa. So if you take a look about, let's say about, I would say maybe 8 lines down from the top or 10 lines. What would you say?
Yeah, looks good.
You see it, Gufa. Now, as you know, the word gufa means we've quoted something out of context earlier. Now we want to see it head on. And the Gemara says the following. Gufa. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar li Huna bar Nosan, Tana. In other words, Huna bar Nosan brought the tradition of a brisa, and this brisa is called Masechta Kala. It's an anthology of brisos. Minayin lebirchas chasanim biasora shenemar vayikach asora anoshim mizikne ha'ir vayomer shvu po, and the next word in the pasuk is vayeshev. So where is this pasuk in what context?
Rus.
In the context of Boaz marrying Rus, and as part of the marriage ceremony, he gathered together 10 people, not just regular people, they weren't rank and file people. The pasuk indicates they were Mizikne Ya'ir, because keep in mind that Boaz was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he asked them to sit down. Now, why did he gather them together, and what was going on over there? And the answer is, according to this tradition, he was reciting Sheva Brachos, and he needed a minyan. And you may recall back when I asked you, this is, you know, this life before Purim and life after Purim. So I don't hold you responsible because I can't remember anything before Purim, and I remember even less on Purim. But we discussed the problem of living and marrying a woman in a city that doesn't have a minyan. You know, you're Syracuse, New York today. I can hardly get a minyan, but I know the rabbi there. Would the chassan be obligated to pick himself up and marry this girl in a different city to guarantee himself a minyan? And what impression do you get from Rav Nachman? From Boaz?
Hard to know.
Doesn't it say Vayikach Asara
Anoshim? It doesn't mean that that's a fear, you know.
In other words, why is the Torah telling me that Boaz actually did this? You know, if it's totally dependent upon whether, in other words, if let's say the chiyuv is on the tzibur, but you don't have to gather together the tzibur for that obligation.
It also says zikneh here, which is
The Gemara is going to address that in just a minute. That's why I was hinting, you know, before. Rabbi Avo Omar. Mehocha, he's not willing to accept the derivation from Boaz. He has a different pasuk. B'makhelos baruch Elokim Hashem mimakar Yisrael. When the community is gathered together as a kol, they should bless God for makar Yisrael. And Rashi says, what's makar Yisrael? Al iske makar. The makar is the womb from which a child is born. So anything that has to do with procreation could be relevant to this pasuk, and comes along Rabbi Avo, and he says that there's an obligation of Birchu Hashem, Makelos the Kahal has to bless Hashem, on what? Al Makar, on having children. And that's a reference to the marriage ceremony.
Very creative.
So the Gemara now is going to analyze, why is it that Rabbi Avo did not accept the drasha of Rav Nachman, and vice versa. Why did Rav Nachman reject the drasha of the Makelos Birch Elokim?
That drasha is far-fetched. In other words, in Makar Yisrael, you're going to say that refers to a marriage. Makar Yisrael, you could attribute to just about anything.
Well, again, Makar Yisrael has something to do with the womb.
If you were to read that pasuk, that would be the obvious. I wouldn't read it that way with 100 guesses.
That's because maybe you never learned Masechta Nida. I don't know. But Masechta Nida, there's one word that appears on every page of Masechta Nida, and that's Makar. You know, the Dam comes from the Makar, you know. The word makar really has a technical, halachic connotation.
Is it ever used? Never used in the Torah that way.
I don't know. I'm not sure. It definitely appears that way in Tehillim. So, Rav Nachman, why does he insist on learning from Boaz and not from Bakelos? He says, "Behai krod Rabbi Avo, my darshbe." Apparently, he had some of the drasha that he derived from that very same pasuk. He needs it for a drasha of Rav Meir in the price. So, minayin shafilu ubrin shevimei iman amru shira. Even the fetus in the makar, in the uterus, would recite shira alayah. It's mind boggling. I mean, when was the last time you saw a fetus singing a song? In other words, even a baby, we call it an embryo in its mother's womb, recited Shira. So I think I told you once, I don't know if you remember this, that the Mefarshim claim that there was a great miracle that took place at Kriyas Yamsuf, above and beyond the miracle that we're familiar with, that there wasn't one single woman who miscarried. And why is that such a great miracle? Chazal understood that if a pregnant woman experiences some sort of a very, you know, bombastic, almost a shock, a dramatic, cataclysmic event, you know, like a tornado or an earthquake or something along that line, where the whole earth is shaking to its roots, she'll have, there's a great, unfortunately, a great chance of having a miscarriage. V'lo hipila isha achas es ubra. That's the nature of the miracle. So I saw in a sefer called Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, he wants to say that what Chazal have in mind is not that the ubrin actually recited Shira, but that later on, when they became mature enough, they had a special chiyuv Shira to praise Hashem for the fact that they're alive. Because if not for the miracle that took place at Kriyas Yamsuf, right, they wouldn't have made it, you know, to be born.
The Gemara in Sota asked the question, how is that possible that the fetus has said Shira? And the Gemara itself answers the question and says that it became transparent that it was Aspakaria.
Oh, really? You could show me that Gemara? After the Shia, if you don't mind.
It's a Gemara in Sota.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
The Gemara itself asked the question. It says, how is it possible that the Uber said it?
Oh, okay.
It said that it became transparent, that they were able to see through.
Oh, so I'm not familiar with that Gemara, but I did see this pshat in the Sefer Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Yeah, you still say that pshat as well.
I was very impressed with it, actually. I was very excited about it. Now, I wanted to add the following. There's an interesting diyun in the poskim about a katan who experiences one of the four categories of Yeshua. Would that katan have an obligation to bench gomel when they become a gadol? Or, for example, we have a ger. A ger requires, according to the Torah law, three things. If a male convert, right? Mila, tvila, and what? Who remembers the third?
Karma.
So what happens today, Bizman Hazeh, we don't have a carbon, will all the gerim be standing on line outside the Beis HaMikdash bringing their carbonos? And the final maskon is yes. In other words, you can have a chiyuv which you cannot implement. And later on, so I'm just suggesting that maybe the ubar owes its life to the miracle that took place at Lohipila Isha Achas's ubra. But obviously the Uber cannot now implement their obligation, their chiyuv, will wait until they become mature and they're capable of doing so. This has nothing to do with the famous issue about a katan shenizgadol ben shnei psochen. He became a bar mitzvah after the first Karban Pesach, but before Pesach Sheni. Is he obligated in Pesach Sheni? That chakira vacillates over the question of tashlumin. Tashlumin means that I didn't fulfill what I had to fulfill, and you gave me a second round. That's called Pesach Sheni. But in the case of a katan, he never had the chiyuv to begin with, and therefore he doesn't have an obligation of tashlumin. But one could argue that when this youngster becomes bar mitzvah, he or she owes his life, you know, to the miracle that took place. So I don't know.
The chiyuv starts then.
That's what I want to know. Is it an ongoing chiyuv by virtue of the fact that if not for this miracle, I wouldn't be here? Or do we say that this one moment in time, and the chiyuv emerges then? And if the child is a katan, or certainly in the case of an Uber, there is no chiyuv. But be that as it may, it turns out that there are two ways of understanding the pasuk b'makelos birchol kim mimakar yisra. Rabbi Avo understood as a reference to sheva brachos. Sheva brachos. Birchas kasani. And Rav Nachman understood that this is a reference to the Ubrim at the time of the Kriyas Yams. But it's interesting that both of them are convinced that there's some chiyuv hodaya or shira that's connected to the makar. V'idach. So now the Gemara wants to know, what is Rabbi Avo going to do with this drasha? If he's using the pasuk for Sheva Brachos, then he's in trouble because he cannot derive this Rabbi Meir in the price of the Ubrin. So what the Gemara pulls off here is a typical Talmudic move, a classic, that you look at a pasuk and you can derive sometimes two things from the same pasuk if there's an extra diuk in the pasuk. In Cain, he says, Lema kra mi beten. If the pasuk is only coming to teach you that the Ubrin B'mei Iman would recite Shira, then it should have said mi beten. In other words, he's saying that there are two words that could actually refer to the uterus. And there's a fundamental difference between the two terms. So they're synonymous to some extent, but they're very different in another extent. When you want to talk about the uterus as holding on to the fetus inside of it, then the proper term is beten. But when you want to talk about the uterus as referring to the procreation process, what they call, I don't know if you've ever been to the Epcot Center, the making of me, do you remember that?
I haven't been there.
Never been there. What about you, Max? No? Yonatan, no? Okay. So, you know, Americans look for ways of teaching their children the facts of life. Mm-hmm. So what they do is, in the Epcot Center, they have this very adorable video, you know, with all these, you know, animated, you know, little things, and, you know, the sperm is represented by this, and the ovum by this, and they have these little round things, you know, with little smiles on them. They're rolling upstream to get to the... Who gets first, you know, first to the ovum, you know? And they, you know, the ovum looks like a female. It's very cute, the Epcot Center. Again, I don't know if they still have the film, but... Okay. Now, Rabbi Avo, let's flip it the other way around. We had the pasuk of Boaz. Why did Boaz gather together 10 men, sit them down, if not for Sheva Brachos? And if he did, why couldn't that be the source for Sheva Brachos? Is Rabbi Avo Bahai Kro, the Rav Nachman, my Dorish Pei? What does he do with the pasuk of Rav Nachman who derives Sheva Brachos by Boaz? Hahumi Boil. You know why Boaz gathered 10 people together? Limidrash, he wanted to teach halacha. You know, the pasuk says in Dvarim, Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem. And Boaz, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, he wanted to establish Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. That the reason why he's allowed to marry Rus, even though she's born a Moavis, is because she can convert and become a Yehudiah, and then he can marry her. Why? Because of Moavi velo Moavis. And the Gemara tells us in Masechet Yevamos that at that time this was a tremendous controversy. There was even bloodshed over this idea, because the whole question had to do with David HaMelech, whether David HaMelech could actually serve as a Melech B'Yisrael, because if he came from an illegitimate marriage, then he's a pogum and he cannot serve as a Melech. And that's when this whole issue came to the fore a second time around. It was an issue four generations earlier at the time of Boaz and Ruth, and again it resurfaced at the time of at the time of David, because David was the one who was offering to kill Goliath, and Shaul HaMelech turns to his right hand man and he says, "Well, who's this kid?" And they said, "Well, don't worry about him. He's puzzle anyway, because he comes from Rus HaMoaviah." But at the end of the day, it was Shmuel HaNavi who finally closed the, you know, what did he say?
Closed the deal?
Closed the deal, or I was thinking of a different phrase, which I can't remember now, with a hatchet, you know. But anyway, he finalized this halacha and codified it. And no one could question this halacha that a Moaviah is allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. Now, you were asking the question before about Zkenim. You know, you want to get together 10 for Sheva Brachos, they don't have to be Zkenim. But now, in the light of Rabbi Avoh, this is what the Gemara is about to point out, that he wanted to get this halachic discourse, it makes sense that he wanted to get Asura Zkenim. The Is Halkadach Lebracha is lo sagi de lav zkenim, is a double negative. It wouldn't be enough if they weren't zkenim, meaning it would certainly be enough even if they weren't talmidei chachamim. Who needs talmidei chachamim for the mitzvah sheva brachos? The idah. Now Rav Nachman is really in a bind because he wants to say that Boaz gathered them together for the purpose of sheva brachos. The isal kedaitoch Lemidrash, Rav Nachman says that if you're going to argue the way you, Rabbi Avoh, argue that he only got them together because he wanted to darshan and he wanted to reveal and establish this halacha, lo sagi de lav asara, why do you have to take 10 people? Is there some sort of halacha of a minyan with regard to teaching Torah? If he's teaching Torah, there's no need to gather together 10 people. But Rabbi Avoh says, this was more than just teaching Torah. This was to darshan and add to the whole Masoras HaTorah a new halacha. L'fursumei milsa, he needs to publicize it, and he has to get 10 people together for pirsum. This reminds you of the Gemara in Erechin. You know, the Gemara in Erechin vacillates, you know, with regard to Lashon Hara. How many people have to know about it in order that it's no longer Lashon Hara? Is it 3 people? Is it 10 people? Or, for example, the halacha of chalitza or get. You know, the halacha is that a get should be given in front of 10 people. What are we worried about? Why do we require the presence of 10 for a get?
Question if it ever happened.
We're worried about the kohen. So we need Pearson to make sure the Kohanim absolutely know that she is a Grusha. And that's why we require 10 people for a get.
That's Chalitza as well.
Chalitza as well. Because a Chalutza cannot marry a Kohen.
Is that Allah Chalamais?
I think so. I think they gather 10 people.
By Gittin?
I think by Gittin, yeah. As far as I remember. Also, by a Bris. Tosa says there's an Indian of Pearson. To say that, declare that we want this bris for the sake of Likonis, Likal Yisrael, Likadusha Yisrael, Bris Yisrael. The goyim also might have some sort of an operation, some goyim, I guess. It's interesting, the Radal, I don't know if you ever heard of Rav David Luria.
Yeah.
He has a super commentary. It's the commentary on the Pirkei de Rabbi Loza. You can't move without it. And he wants to know why we need 10 people at a burial. The halacha is that for Levayis and Nes, we need a minimum of 10 people. So he comes up with an interesting idea, which I wanted to share with you. He says that the halacha of 10 people at a funeral has nothing to do with what we call a davar shebekedusha, like kaddish, which requires a minyan, but it has to do with pirsum. And the question is, what are we publicizing when we bury the dead?
Awesome.
What he says?
The Yorushin?
No.
That's interesting.
We are publicizing, listen carefully, we are publicizing our belief in Tchias HaMeisim. If we didn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, why do we have to bury the dead? And he goes on and he says that burying the dead is like putting a pikado. Let's say, for example, you want me to watch something that's valuable, and I put it in a safe. That's called shmir ma'ula, as far as ksafim are concerned. So even the shomer sachar is required the highest. That's what we're doing. We're putting a pikadon in the ground because we're going to remove it from the ground. And that is tchiyas ha-meisim. Basically, according to the Radal, any time we do an act of emuna, of faith, we have to publicize that act of faith. That's why Kiddush Hashem requires asara. Because what I am saying is I have such a strong belief in God and His Torah that I'm willing to give up my life for that belief. That's a matter of emunah. And that requires piercing. So I wrote an article back in the day in a journal called Tchumin. And in that article, I quoted this Radal. And the Radal goes on to say that you know, anything listed in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that requires asara, it's all piercing. And he says, so why did the chassan and the kal have to have 10 people for sheva brachas? That's also listed in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. He says, lefarseh, shemei Hashem ish leisha. The Gemara Maikotin says that marriage is a is the intervention of the divine, it's divine providence. So, and that's also emunah, and therefore you have to publicize. So somebody wrote back, an editor, you know, not one of the editors, but he, you know, he had his own editorial comment. You know him, I'm not going to mention his name. And he said, if that be the case, then you don't need 10 men, you could have 10 women. Because the best way of publicizing something is saying it in front of women. So I told him to write this to the Radal. The only problem is the Radal is gone for about 2.5 centuries. But the Gemara goes on to say, Ukida Amar Le Shmuel Ravchana Bigdasa. Okay, he was Baghdadian from Babel. Puk vi Isi Libeas Sara. Go out and bring me 10 people. The Ema Loch Ban Payu. I want to publicize an important halacha. Hamizake Luubar Kana. So again, you'll ask me why Boaz had to gather together 10 people. Couldn't he have taught the halacha of Moaviyah Velo Moaviyah in front of 5 people? The answer is no. When you want to darshan a new halacha, and it's got to be part of the transmission of the Masorah, and you want to publicize, you need to gather 10 people. The Hilchasa, by the way, this has nothing to do with that Gemara. Hamizak al Uber Lokana. And this is a fascinating machlokas, where an Ubar has the status of a being such that you can acquire something on behalf of an Ubar. It's very interesting. The Ubar can be wealthy at the moment of its birth because somebody was mezakeh something for the Ubar. But Hilchasa we pass it on mezakeh Ubar Lokana. And all the Rishonim want to know how to square this with the sugya of Hamakadish Ubar. Hamakadish Ubar means that a Ktana can be married off by her father. You've got this little girl, and according to Torah law, she can be married off by her father. Is that a rabbinic law? That's a Doraisa halacha. What about being Makadish and Uber? Can the father say, I don't know, you know, they didn't have ultrasounds in those days, so, right? And even if they did, maybe he doesn't want to know, you know. There's a big machlokes today, you know. There yesh mekila and yesh machmir. I never understood the... I think it's all psychological. It has nothing to do with halacha whatsoever. But in any event... So now the father says, look, I don't know, I don't know what my wife is having. You know, she may be having a girl, she may be having a boy. But in case she has a girl, I want to marry her off to you. And he's Makabel Kiddushin on behalf of his Ubar, who turns out to be a female. And the question is that the same sugya here?
That's okay.
If you're going to say that the Kiddushin is valid in the case of a father who marries off his daughter as an Ubar, then why is it the Gemara establishes a Mezakel Ubar Lokan?
She's not kind of anything.
That's the question. Is she viable? Or is she considered a being? You know, she has Kinyan? Well, she doesn't have
Well, I don't know.
I'm saying,
An Uber should be a davar shelo boli olam at this point.
In that case, the husband is what's acquiring.
What do you say?
In that case, the husband is the person acquiring.
It's Machen, okay.
And the right. husband isn't the Uber, it's the wife.
Right, right. So you want to say the following. Excellent. That whether an Uber is a being or not can be seen in two ways. Is it an issue of the Uber having a koach, a yad of kinyan? Or is the Uber a dovra nikne? But when you say dovra nikne, it's not like, you know, selling a potato. You know, we had a whole discussion in the previous year about whether you're allowed to eat a potato that was cooked by a guy. It's not an issue of selling a table. I mean, she's got to be a viable being in order to be a mekudeshes. And l'chora, that should depend upon a mezaka l'ubar. If she's a viable being to make a kinyan and own things, then yes, she could be a viable being for kinyan. Rabosa, at this point, I would like to learn with you an article here that I have. Okay, let me just see how many copies I made. Sometimes I'm very optimistic. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I have 5 copies. The only question is, do I have a copy for myself? Let me just see. What does it say on top of it? What number?
I have, there's an 8 and 9.
8 and 9. Okay, so let's see if I have the original. Oh, I have the original. So it turns out everything's been a Shemaya. I made exactly the number of copies I need until Brian comes in. Okay, fine. So this is an article in a contemporary journal, which is called, the name of the article is called Birchas Chasanim. Okay. And I have the name of the author somewhere, but I misplaced it. Hopefully I'll either find it or remind myself as we go along.
Well, it's printed, it looks like it's come from Reisner.
Right. Well, no, it comes from his journal.
Yeah.
But he didn't write the Birchas Chasanim. Right, he anything that says Ratz Kitzvi, he wrote.
What's the name of the journal?
I don't remember right now. I don't want to waste that time, but I have it somewhere written here, but I don't know. All right, so let's just take it as such. It's a contemporary article here that's quoted in this Olamot.net article. And it's called Birchas Chasan. So what did I want to show you in this article? One second. Oh. So he says the following. In the first paragraph, you'll see that he quotes our sugya. And he says the following. There's a machlokes amongst the poskim about the reason why we require asara for Birchas Chasan. According to the Mishnah Brura, kidei l'shabech u'lefayer es Hashem. In other words, we want to thank and praise God publicly. When you glorify the name of God publicly, it takes on a whole different meaning. The second possibility, though, is that it's a davar shebekedusha. Like, for example, when we get together 10 people to read the Torah, when we get together 10 people to recite Baruch Hu, or to recite Chazor Sashatz with Kaddish and Kedusha, Kedusha and Kaddish, all this is because ein davar shebekedusha pochos ve'asara. And therefore, the halacha of asara in Birchas Chasanim is based on, is an application of the general principle of Ein Davar Shebekedusha Pachos Me'Asara. And he writes here in this article, I don't know how he knows this, that the Brisker Rav held like the second opinion, that it's a Davar Shebekedusha. Oh, so without looking at the next paragraph, again, you'll say I saw it already, but I can tell you immediately what the Nafkamina is, but I can go beyond that. The nafkamina is going to be, in a davar shebekedusha, we have a special halacha that if you start with a minyan and somebody drops out, you're down to 9, you can still continue. You can complete. So for example, if somebody drops out in the middle of Chazor Sashatz, you can continue with Chazor Sashatz. so forth and so on, Kedusha and Baruch Hu and Kriyas HaTorah and all any Dover Shebe Kedusha. So the same thing would apply in Sheva Brachas. It's just that in Sheva Brachas it's a lot more common. Because very often in Sheva Brachas you only get 10 people and they're all on Shvilkas. Right? You know, the lift is going and it's, you know, the wife, it's too late to get a train. You know, it's the last this and the bus and I'm running here and I'm running there. So according to Briskerov, you can complete Sheva Brachas as long as you started with 10. According to the Mishnah Berurah, on the other hand, if it's not a Dovash and a Kedusha, it's just Bracha and Shemach, then this halacha doesn't apply. But Rabbosai, I wanted to suggest a little bit more. We have a machlokas in the Gemara between Rav Nachman and Rabbi Avvo. What's the source for Sheva Brachas? And I'd like to suggest the following. That it could very well be that according to Rabbi Avvo, B'makelos Baruch Hashem, what we're talking about is Shevach of the call. Shevach of the call, if there's a chovas, an obligation of the upon the call to be Meshabeach, that is a Dover Shem Kedusha. To glorify Hashem's name as a Maisa Tzibur, that defines a Dover Shem Kedusha. If, on the other hand, Boaz was acting on his own behalf to fulfill his own personal obligation, then it's very possible that that's not a Dover Shebe Kedusha. And he has an obligation to publicize the great miracle of Hashem Ish L'Isha, and in order to publicize that, he needs Asara. And I think that the paradigm for Rav Nachman, meaning the Boaz model, is the case of Birchas HaGomel. What's Birchas HaGomel? Birchas HaGomel is not a chiyuv on the tzibur, correct? It's not a chiyuv on the tzibur. Who has to recite Birchas HaGomel? The person who experienced, right, the Yeshua, not Sola. But the din is that he has to gather together 10 people in order to fulfill his obligation. That's not a Dover Shebe Kedusha. So for example, let's say, I don't know, this is a funny kind of question, but let's say he started the bracha with Asar, and then one guy drops out. That's it. He did not fulfill his obligation. He has to recite the bracha, declaring Hashem's Yeshua and Atzol in front of 10 people. Rabbi Avvo derives the chiyuv of Sheva Brachos from V'makelos. V'makelos means that the call is obligated in this bracha. So I was wondering, for example, I don't know if you've ever seen a chuppah that had decorum and people were actually quiet listening to Sheva Brachos. If you saw it, you didn't see it here in this country. You may have seen it in Britain and in Australia, America, I don't know. Here it's like mass, you know, bedlam. It's like anarchy. And I think that that could make sense according to Boaz, according to Rav Nachman, but it would make no sense according to Rabbi Avvo, because the chiyuv is incumbent upon the call. And insofar as you're part of that call, you have an obligation to thank Hashem. For example, I would ask the following question. Do the brachos belong to the chassid? Is it his Bible, so to speak? If you go with Boaz, Boaz gathered together 10 people, he had an obligation, a personal obligation to be Mavarech, then it's his obligation, it's his bracha. But if you're going to say that once the call is together, they as a call have to be Mavarech, I don't know if that bracha belongs to the chassid. Maybe it belongs to the kal. Maybe it belongs to the kal. Another question. A davrish of a kedusha requires amida. Were you ever at a chasana where everybody stood for the brachos? Where? Only here in Israel, right?
Right.
I don't think in chutzlots you'll ever see it.
Yeah.
You will?
Yeah.
I never, in chutzlots, I never saw it. I only saw that people are standing because there weren't enough seats.
That's right. They don't set up chairs here for the coming.
Oh, so you and I might have said that this is all part of the, you know, the batlonis in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the chuppah is a mass bedlam, you know, the... You know, it's crazy what goes on here. And therefore, everybody stands because there aren't enough seats. But I would say it might be more than that. If you hold like the Brisker Rav, that the Sheva Brachos is a Dovash of Kedusha, then I would suggest that we all should stand, because the Dovash of Kedusha requires standing. But if on the other hand you're going to say it's just a Kiyum Shemach that's incumbent upon the Chassan, he has to gather together, then what did Boaz do? Do you remember what he said to the 10 people? Shavu Pa. It's not a Dovash of Kedusha. So the Brisker Rav could be right, and I think he is right, if you hold like Rabbi Avo. But if you hold like Rav Nachman, and we derive it from Boaz, I would rather go with the Mishnah Brura and say it's not a Dovash of Kedusha at all. It's just a Chova Shevach that's incumbent upon the Chassan. It's his baby, but it's his obligation. He's got to get together 10 people. And I want to tell you another Nachman. And maybe this would knock the nail in as far as who's right here in this machlokas. What if you get together 9 people and the 10th is the Chassan himself? So the Gemara later on, we didn't get to it yet, is going to vacillate back and forth. That's called Chassan Atzmo Min HaMinyan or Ein Chassan Atzmo Min HaMinyan. I would say it depends on this machlokas. The chassan is no less part of the tzibur than any other member of the tzibur, the other 9 people. But if it's a chova on the chassan, he's got to publicize his shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that exactly as the Torah says in Gomel, that the birchas HaGomel means there's got to be 10 people besides the mevarech, the same thing should apply in the case of sheva brachos. And what raya could I bring that, at least according to one opinion that we've learned in our Gemara, the chassan is not part of the 10, and he's got to get together 10 people besides him?
Boaz.
Exactly. Vayikach Boaz asora anoshim vayomalem yeshvu po. According to Rav Nachman, he gathered together 10 people in order to recite sheva brachos. Why do you have to get a 10? Let him gather 9. So you'll say the pasuk rounded it off. I don't believe that for a minute, because this pasuk is teaching me according to Rav Nachman halacha l'doros. Is the Brisker Rav right that it's a dovish of the kedusha? It's a chiyuv shevach that's incumbent upon the tzibur as a tzibur, and therefore the chassan himself is part of the minyan. Or should we say no? This is not a dovish of kedusha. This is a chovas pirsum. Pirsum HaShevach, because God did something for me that's absolutely miraculous. He split the Yamsu. And I have to publicly thank Hashem for that.
Okay. Does it have to be one or the other? Can it be both?
I see you're a Brisker. You want to say it's Faith Dina, right? It could be right. The only thing is that for that we'd have to see it evolving in the poskim, meaning it could be the poskim will accept both Rav Nachman and Rabbi Avo. I'm dealing with the sugya per se, not the poskim. In any event, the Gemara itself comes to the conclusion that chassan atzmo min haminyan, and that would seem lefi anistaiti to tip the scale in favor of the Brisker Rav. And it's fascinating to me that the minchas chinuch in the midst of kiddush Hashem claims that you're only chayav in Kiddush Hashem if there are 10 Jews besides you yourself. And first he wants to say, because you're about to die, so how can you be part of the minyan? Then he says, no, you're still alive and therefore you're chayav. But then at the end of the day,
Before you get killed you have to make sure that there's a minyan?
No, the question is whether you have to give up your life. No, the guy is putting a gun to your head, right? And he's saying that he wants you to wear a beged shel shatnez, right, which is only a lav, it's not one of the big 3, and if not, he's going to knock your block. So are you obligated to do so? The Mechastinic's final maskana is, if there are only 9 Jews present, he's not obligated to give up his life, because he's the 10th, and he's not part of the minyan, because his chiyuv is a chiyuv pirsum Kiddush Hashem. He has to publicly glorify the name of God by martyring himself. But if you would say not like the Mechastinic, then he has to publicly martyr himself, and he's part of the public, then it's a whole different definition. It's not that he's chayv and pirsum Kiddush Hashem, but that insofar as there is a kahal, he becomes chayv and Kiddush Hashem. So that's why Yonatan, you shouldn't make light of this. It could be a life and death question.
And then if you have 10 pregnant women, do the Ubers count as people that you can be...
I don't think so, because I haven't heard an Uber speak. Hmm. Unless maybe it's transparent. I don't have to see the Gemara in Sota, which I'm not familiar with. So let's just see another paragraph here. He says that the Tosus Rid, this in the middle column, seems to say like the Mishnah Brura, but he writes in the name of the Aruch HaShulchan, this in the third column, second paragraph, Yira Ali, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Dimeschilu Birchas Chasan B'Asara, V'yatu Miktsasim, Gomer Mosom Afilu B'Pochas Me'Asara. And that, says the Birchas Chasanim, reflects the Shita of the Brisker Rav. Now, I'm not telling you that we have to paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan, but I would say that in this case, since we have the Makelos Birch Hashem, which sounds like a halach of Chovas Shevach of the call, and therefore it's a Dovah Shebekedusha, the halach of Dovah Shebekedusha could apply. Which I think is a great kula, because it's very frequent that you can't hold on to all the people at the Sheva Brachos. I don't know if you've had this experience. Recently, we hosted in Harnof a Sheva Brachos in our living room, and getting a minyan was just murder. It was very hard. It becomes especially hard if it's the last Sheva Brachos. Everybody's all Sheva Brachos out already by then. To bring people for a Sheva Brachos, and then to find Parm Chadashos, it's very difficult. And if the Sheva Brachos are at night, at a late night, it's very difficult to keep them until the Brachos are recited. There's a whole discussion in Poskim if you're afraid that the minyan will fall apart, whether you should say Sheva Brachos in the middle of the meal and then eat the rest of the meal afterwards. Again, the hostess is not happy about that, because she wants to serve the whole meal and nothing but, and then also the dessert that she's prepared, and then recite Sheva Brachos. Here's something very interesting. This is on page 9. You have page 9 on the flip side? Did it come out?
Yes.
Oh, good. He wants to know if a deaf person... Now again, when we talk about a deaf person, we're not talking about a cheresh. A cheresh who's not considered a bardas, that's a deaf mute. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a person who speaks, but he's deaf. Okay? So the question is, in Siman Nun Hei, in Or Chaim, that's the Siman that's dedicated to the halach of Chazoras Hashatz. A cheresh, even though he doesn't hear the Chazoras Hashatz, is considered part of the minyan. Okay then? But in Megillah, he's not part of the minyan. And what's the difference? Because the halach of Asara with regard to Chazoras Hashatz, halach of Tzibur, he's part of the Tzibur. The halach of Asara in Megillah is Pirsum, and there's no Pirsum if he can't hear what's going on. What's the deal with Sheva Brachos? It depends. If you hold like the Mishnah Brura, that it's a Chovas Boaz, I call it, to be Mefarsim in front of 10 people, then what kind of Pirsum can you achieve in the case of a Cheresh? But if you go like the Brisker Rav, that it's a Dovah Shebekedusha, then the deaf person could be mitzarev. Then in the next paragraph he talks about amida. Should we require that the call stand? That's a big chumrah, but the Brisker Rav would say yes. However, he brings a raya here from the Chasam Sofer, and I think I object to this raya. He says in the name of the Chasam Sofer that the Brisker Rav is not right, because the Chasam Sofer writes that the halacha of Birchas Chasanim is an integral part of Birchas HaMazal. And if it was a Dovah Shebekedusha, why would it be part of Birchas HaMazal? And therefore he wants to prove that the Mishnah Brura was rejected, it was accepted by the Chasam Sofer, the Brisker Rav was rejected by the Chasam Sofer. And that has tremendous halachic ramifications. The Chasam Sofer is one generation before the Mishnah Berurah. And he's a very, very reliable posek. But I would tell you the following. I'm not sure that this Chasam Sofer has anything to do with what we're discussing. The Gemara in Ksuvas Tav Zayin Amud Beis that we're studying tonight is addressing the Birchas Chasanim not at the Seuda as an integral part of Birkas HaMazon, but as part of the Nisuin, as part of the marriage. In fact, if there's no possibility of Birchas Chasanim, then he cannot consummate the marriage, because Kala below Bracha, Asura Levaila Kanina. And that's why the Rambam says that Birchas Chasanim have to be recited before the Chuppah, because the Rambam requires what's called a Chuppah Ruil Bia. Now, I'm not telling you we pass like the Rambam. It's a very unique sheet of the Rambam, and it has a lot of difficulties, you know, in terms of Chuppas Nida and the whole bit. And maybe in Rosh Hashem one time we'll learn that sugi. It's really dependent upon the sugi that we had on that base. You remember about Cholahu, Achol Sahi, or Pirsa Nida, that he doesn't have to be Mal of his own nose, if you remember that. What I wanted to suggest was that although the Chasam Sofer is outspoken that the Sheva Brachos is part of the Birkas HaMazon, which has tremendous ramifications, for example, let's say you didn't wash, could you be considered part of the minyan? Or let's say, for example, if you washed and now you want to drop out because you know the last bus is, you know, last train in the city is going out, now you're not going to be there for Sheva Brachos. The Chasam Sofer says it's an integral part of Birkas HaMazon. And basically you have an obligation within the framework of Birkas HaMazon to recite Sheva Brachos.
Whether you use a separate kosher for Sheva Brachos.
Correct. You would probably have to use... No, you could use the same kosher. Right.
The minhag is not to.
Oh, the minhag is not
to? We have two kosher. One for Birkas HaMazon and one for... And we mix them at the end.
I don't know. It's a good question, because based on what we learned at the beginning of this week, you guys weren't here for that, but I would say that although Birchas HaMazon, the Cheftz of the Kos is part of the mitzvah, but I wouldn't say, you'd have to have two Koses. You're right. Yeah, because Sheva Brachos is also on the Suda. Okay, fine. But just, I was going to make a point. What did I want to say? That Chasam Sofer has nothing to do with the issues that we were discussing about the Sheva Brachos under the Chuppah. Meaning, if we have to stand, if there were 10 and then we drop down to 9, and all those issues have nothing to do with Birkas HaMazon. And basically, I would like to suggest the following. I mean, this is a brisket tvei dinim. Both are right. Rabbi Avo is right, and Rav Nachman is right, like you said before. But it depends which Sheva Brachos you're talking about. If you're talking about Sheva Brachos under the Chuppah as part of Nisuin, Rav Nachman is right. It's a Chovas Boaz, as I call it. And those Brachos belong exclusively to the Chasson. If he wants to share them with the Kala and her family, that's for the sake of Shalom Bayis. It's a good start for a good, healthy, harmonious marriage. Don't hog all the Brachos for yourself. A lot of the frictions over the marriage, you know, the Gemara says that ain't Suva below Tigra, it has to do with Sheva Brachos today. Because the Kala wants Sheva Brachos, the Chasson wants Sheva, you know, it's a big deal. But if you talk to me about Sheva Brachos during the Zayin Yimei HaMishteh, I would suggest that Rabbi Avo is right. That it's a chova on the tzibah to be mishameach. The makelos birch Hashem. The call has to be mishameach. So for example, if you would ask me the following question. Do I as a chassan have to guarantee that there'll be a minyan? I live in Syracuse and I can't get a minyan in Syracuse. I say that with tears in my eyes because Syracuse was an ir v'aim v'yisrael. But like most of the American towns today, with the exception of like 5 or 6, it's really holkin and poksin. Especially in New York State. So many cities in New York State, or in Pennsylvania, you know, right next to New York, had tremendous... About 50 years ago, they buried the last Jewish woman in the Jewish cemetery in Cory, Pennsylvania. No, maybe it's Cory, New York. I think it's already over the border. Who ever heard of Cory? You know, I once met a B'nai Akiva kid whose grandfather was from Cory. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like going back to my father's shtetl in Litter. You know what I'm saying? But Bidur HaSemei, I live in a town and I can't get a minyan. Oh, so what do I have to do? Do I have to start calling up neighbors and friends? Do I have to start shipping off my Sheva brothers to the next town, you know, to the big cities, and guarantee a minyan? It depends. If you're talking about Nisuin, Enochinam, Vayikach, Boaz, Asura, that's Boaz's personal obligation. If I, for example, was in a Beis Asurim and I got out, I have to find a minyan in order to recite Birkas HaGomel. If I got off a plane in an international flight over the waters, then I have to gather together a minyan. No. If I live in Syracuse, it's not going to help me. That's no Tainus Patur. Maybe when I land in LaGuardia, I have to jump over to Kew Gardens Hills and make sure I got a minyan, and then take the next flight out to Syracuse. But on the other hand, if you're talking about Sheva Brachos during the Zayim Mishnah, here Rabbi Avo is right. The chiyuv is not the chosin; it's the makelos. The call has the chiyuv. It's their obligation to be mishabeach. So if there is a call, and the chosin kala there, and is a suda, then that suda is engendered with the status of a suda as chosin kala suda simcha, and now all the participants in that suda are chayuv in Birkas HaMazon, and says the Chassam Sofer, the essential part of Birkas HaMazon is Sheva Brachos. The Chassan's not chayav. I don't believe for one minute that the Chassan has to guarantee that during the Sheva Brachos, he's got to have a minyan. Make sure he has a minyan. Not the pshat. I'm not saying onus v'chmona patre. The Chassan is in a town, he can't get a minyan. So, mitigating circumstances. No, I would say even more than that. He's not even chayav. So to me, it's a big chumrah to tell every chassan kala that every day of Sheva Brachos, I mean, people do weird things. You know what? They have three Sheva Brachos in a day. Who says such a thing?
Okay, he's a part of the kala. Isn't he?
But if there's a kala that's gathered together, then there's a chiyuv that evolves on the kala. If there's no kala, then I don't have a chiyuv. You understand what I'm saying? It's not my personal individual chiyuv. Reb Chaim was traveling from one city to the other. He got off the train in the middle to make sure that he would hear Kriyas HaTorah. He understood that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Yachid. Every individual is chayav to make sure that he gets a minyan together in order to read the Torah. And Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha, used to arrive from Boston to New York. There was no minyan left, and after Shia, he would gather together a minyan of guys to read for the Sefer Torah. Did you ever see such a thing? You never saw such a thing. You got to be a Soloveitchik for that. So, the Ramban writes that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Tzibur. The Tzibur gathers together and they have to read the Torah. If you're on a train going from one city to the other, you don't have to get off the train in the middle, according to the Ramban. So where is this Rabbi? So Yossi Blau, I don't know if you know Rabbi Blau, he's a Mashgiach of YU. So he told me that the Rav said in the name of his father that we don't know where the Ramban is. There is a Ramban, but we don't know where it is. So Yossi found the Ramban, and he was sitting at the table of the Rav, and he starts opening up the Ramban. So the Rav closes the Gemara and says, we don't know where the Ramban is. That's part of the tradition, you know, that we don't know where the Ramban is. Because that's the way you heard from Father, the name of Chaim. So we can't find the Ramban. But I saw the Ramban with my own eyes. No, the Ramban is off the dot. Meaning, the Sugya of Dabash Mekdusha is in Megillah Chaf Gimel. The Ramban, on that Mishnah, and the Ramban is in Mochavis on Daf Gimel. Not Chaf Gimel, but Gimel. Okay, we have 5 more minutes, at least let's make a little bit more progress. We'll put this page on the side in the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Tana Rabbanan, Mevorachim Birchas Chasanim B'Beis chasanim, and Rashi, the Mefarshim say b'shas nesuin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af the base ha'erusin b'varchnosa. Fascinating halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, which seems to make absolutely no sense. I mean, we never heard that the zechi of sheva brachas before the marriage reaches its fruition with erusin. Omer Abaye, you have to know the context. Ubi Yehuda shanu. The Mishnah later on in Daf Yud Aleph records a very strange minhag in Yehuda. You know, Eretz Yisrael was divided into three districts, and in Yehuda they had a minhag that during the erusin period, they were miyached the chas and kal together privately in a room. You know, like get the message. You know, do what you have to do. Now that doesn't make any sense. Why would they do such a thing? An arus is not allowed to have relations with his arusa. The answer is that in Yehuda, they already recited sheva brachas before this yichud, this private room, in order to allow the chas and kala to be together, because the halacha is kala b'lo brach asur l'bayil kanida. He would not be allowed to have this relationship with his arusa unless he first recited shevrach. So they established the shevrach at the erusin. In other words, the erusin itself apparently was a partial nesuin. To some extent, the nesuin took place already at that time.
Only because of bia, in other words, because
right. In order to be matir bia. Now, why did they do this strange minhag? Why did they arrange it in such a way that he? So the Gemara says, you know, possibly because they worried about the hegemon, they wanted to outsmart the hegemon, you remember that sugya? Possibly because they wanted to make sure that, you know, there would be a libo gaspa, because after all, if they're separated for a full year, you know, maybe they wouldn't...
Is an acceptable form of the erusin. In other words, that's true. That's not a radical thing. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that we just prefer not to do it that way.
Right, but after that beer, he's not allowed to have another beer with her until Nesuin.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they were miyachi them together, Almanasa, they should have another beer. What do you say?
Did she get a ketubah yet at this stage?
That's a good question. Alright, so that's Sugya's on Daf Yud Aleph. We'll get to it in Mishnah later on. Let's just finish up. Tanya Idach. The other Brisa says, Mevorchim Birchas Chasanim Bebeis Chasanim Ubirchas Erusin Bebeis Erusin. Okay? Birchas Erusin my Mevorich. What's the Nusach of the Bracha? Ravin Barav Ado of Rab Barav Ad Shavayu Mishmeid Rabbi Yehudamri Baruch Ato Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidshanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu Al HaRoyos The Osar Lanu Es Harusos, the Heter Lanu Es Hanesuos. Now, some have a girsay of Lanu. You don't have that, do you?
Yeah, we have Lanu.
Oh, you have Lanu? Okay. Al Yidei Chupa Vikidush. So we didn't get up to the Chasima yet. That's Ravacha Berei the Rav Messiah Mishmei the Rav. What was the Siyum? Baruch Ato Hashem Makadish Yisrael Al Yidei Chupa Vikidushin. So I have a number of questions to raise with you here. I don't think we'll answer them tonight. Number one, where did we ever find a bracha that's so long and complicated? And not only that, a birchas hamitzvah that has a chasima to it? So this is a pella, this whole sugya. And not only that, when you recite a bracha on a mitzvah, then you talk about the positive mitzvah, the obligation that has to be fulfilled. He opens up by saying, Tzivano al harayos, basolanu esarusos. You know, like there's no mention here of a mitzvah at this point. There's only a mention of hafkas isur. It's like the post can ask, you know, when you check an animal for simoni kashrus, you know, why don't we make a brach on that? The answer is because there's no mitzvah to check for kashrus. It's just you're avoiding an isur. When you avoid an isur, you don't make a bracha. Here's a case where you make a bracha on avoiding the isur arayos.
This sounds like the pursuit.
But again, we're talking about erusin now, not nesuin. We never found that. Also, take a look at the chasima. Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, Ayidei Kiddushin V'Chupa. Correct? No, that's not what it says.
Chupa.
But it should be Kiddushin v'chuppa because first comes Kiddushin and then comes chuppa. And Bechlal, why is he mentioning chuppa? Ribbono Shalom, we're talking about Birchas Erusin. Maybe in Yehuda, but not in Golil. And the Gemara now goes on to say that not everyone was happy about a chasima. Mandel lo chasim, there was a Mandel Yomer who said that you should not add a chasima. Midi dahavi a birchas peris va birchas hamitzvah. That's what we call what? Does anybody know the term for that when there's no chasima to a bracha? It's called a bracha ktsara. Right? A bracha ktsara. Bracha ktsara has nothing to do with the size of the bracha. Oh, you want to open the door? Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. And hopefully we'll continue. It's a fascinating sugya.